There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
All right, so Lombardi Line, as we welcome you in here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hope you're having a good Thursday. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios at the South Point. We head out to New Jersey, the confines of Michael Lombardi's office. What's cracking, Michael? How are we feeling today?
We're doing good. Patrick, how are you today? How things? We all good? You rested, relaxed, ready to go?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And look, we were just talking about the college hoops, which you got early games today. But really what it comes down to is you got eight teams left, seven games to go, four games this weekend. And, you know, you and I didn't speak after Monday's matchup. Have you recovered from Kyler? Have you recovered from that whole situation that we saw? The reason I bring it up is because I'm going to ask you then to project what we can take from the Rams moving forward. But just a quick thought on just the absolute implosion by the Cardinals.
I think we have to believe what we see. You know, we saw Seattle, and it was right in front of us on the tape, me included. We saw Seattle really control that game. It was 38-30. Seattle gave them two touchdowns. The first play of the game, when Russell Wilson gets fumbled and they pick it up for a touchdown, then he throws an interception. I mean, they weren't able to move the ball really the second half of the season when he came back from the ankle. It was really a struggle for them to move the football. And they can say, well, this happens because of Cliff Kingsbury's teams. I think it's more the mayor. I think the mayor was what can't see. I think people are rushing them a certain way, and it's problematic for him. And there's been no chance that he can adjust it out. And his accuracy, I thought he threw the ball poorly. It looked like, remember the Niner game that they played there that Trey Lance started?
Yes.
And we said after the show, his arm doesn't look strong. It didn't look good. I didn't think his arm looked good on Monday night. I didn't think he threw the ball really very well at all. And then he does some dumb things in the red zone, and not in the red zone when he's backed up. You know, that was disappointing. And if I were Steve Keim, I would be more inclined to question whether I have a blue chip player or whether I have just a guy who's situational. And I know that's harsh to say, but I think when you see him the way he declined over the year, you've got to ask yourself, can we win a Super Bowl with this guy?
Well, Steve Keim has kind of boxed himself in. Rosen, Wilkes, Murray. I mean, how many chances is he going to get? So when talking about potentially moving on from Cliff Kingsbury, my assumption would be that he's married to that, because how could he go to the Bidwills and say, no, let me try this one more time, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, but he's got the Bidwell's ear. He's got Michael Bidwell's ear. I mean, hook, line, and sinker. There's no doubt about that. But I think more than anything, he's got to be – I'm sure Cliff thinks, look, we have Hopkins back. It's going to be a different game, you know. But that offensive line isn't very good. We saw that in the game. And I think that their defense is older. And they got – as the year went on, much like New England's defense, they got worse as the year went along.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. By the way, I'd like the distinction. He did not acquire public office, the quarterback of the Cardinals. The mayor is Kyler Murray. So I just want people to know there is a distinction for the – when Michael says the mayor, whether it be here on VSiN, his podcast, or online, he's talking about your boy Kyler Murray. Yeah, he was bad. And people want to talk about the desperate trying to get out of the end zone with that flick. It was horrible before that, and it got worse after it. So there's really no excuse.
It got really bad. I mean, it was, you know, it kind of, I mean, I think we have the right eight teams in the final eight. I really do.
Yeah, I can't imagine better matchups, right?
you can say the Cowboys. Well, I think, you know, the Cowboys, we saw their, you know, I mean, Troy Aikman comes out and criticizes their offense. We've been criticizing it all year based on Kellen Moore, even though every time we're on television, they say, well, how great of a job Kellen Moore does. I mean, at some point, why not say it during the game?
I think he just interviewed for your job here. Kellen Moore has been interviewing. Goulet's over
everywhere.
There on Skype with him in the corner right now. He's talking to Kellen Moore about an engineer's position here. Couple things. One, I want to then talk about projecting Los Angeles. You know, the big moves, and we'll get into this. I think the big moves so far, the 4.5 opener in Green Bay coming up on Saturday evening, Michael, where it's going to be cold, obviously, has jumped up to 6, a key number. Cirque actually just went back down to 5.5. I think a lot of that has to do with Green Bay getting healthy, which we'll discuss. But back up just a little bit. Los Angeles. I don't know how you could criticize them, but so much is being taken away from the Arizona performance being so subpar, it's hard to grade Los Angeles moving forward. And as we take a look, they're going to be that early game on Sunday. The Rams start opened up catching 3, and they're still catching 3.
Yeah, and there's indicator that it might go down to 2. I don't see any juice on the 3, but there
You're right.
Is
no, 2.5 is on the way, and we actually have it here officially at 2.5.
You know, so, but look, I think you can throw away the Cardinal game and just focus on week 3. And this conference, this divisional round, we see 3 rematches. We see the rematch between San Francisco and Green Bay, played in San Francisco in week 3. We see the rematch against Tampa and Los Angeles, played in Los Angeles in week 3. And then we see the Buffalo-Kansas City rematch, I think played in week 5.
Right.
Played in Kansas City. Now, that line was Kansas City 2.5. It opened up, minus 2.5.
Yes, sir.
Now we're somewhere between 1.5. And so, really, from week 6 of the season or 5 of the season till today, the book thinks the number's been the right number. Like, everybody's saying, well, why isn't Kansas City at least a field goal? Well, they weren't the one last time they played them.
Yeah. Right?
They weren't the last time. And they weren't playing as good a defense then as they are now. So, I think that line, whereas the other lines you see are a little bit different. I mean, San Francisco was -3 against Green Bay when they played.
I love when the books, and you mentioned the opener of 2.5, Michael. When there's that 3 or 2.5 opener, I love when the books do that because it's giving it to us. It's giving it to the market and saying, well, what are you going to do with this?
You die.
Yeah.
You decide.
You decide which way we're going to go. And they're going the other way. They didn't go to 3. They went the other way. They're going to 1.5, as you mentioned, with Buffalo.
So let's go back and talk Tampa, which is your original question, and I kind of bounced all over.
No, that's okay.
You
know, the Rams.
So when you go back and watch the Tampa Rams game, and the Rams were dominant in that game. I mean, the Rams were really good. The Rams' defensive front, without Von Miller, really got after Brady. They were really good against Brady. They created some problems. And what was most surprising to me in this game was how well the Rams' offensive line blocked the Bucs, the Bucs' front. Now, they didn't have Jason Pierre-Paul in the game, but they still blocked him really well. And Stafford got no pressure at all on him. And frankly, the score is not indicative to how badly the game would have gone.
It was worse, yeah.
I mean, DeSean Jackson's behind the defense 3 times. He only caught 1 pass. It's 21-7 with 14 minutes to go in the third quarter. And then they started to exchange touchdowns, and the game just got away. And I was really disappointed with the Bucs defense in that game. They didn't play. They didn't pressure. Even though in the game the Rams didn't run the ball that well, they ran it enough. Whereas Brady was the leading ball carrier for the Bucs. Now that ain't gonna happen.
Is it a positive when a 44-year-old is your leading rusher? Well, speaking of rushing, that what you saw on Monday night, Michael, was a commitment to the run. We can talk about that as far as philosophically. But they were able to run the ball against Tampa in week 3. I think they had close to 80 yards rushing in week 3 as well.
67, yeah. I mean, they ran it. They did. They did a nice job running. I mean, San Francisco didn't run it against Green Bay in the first game.
That's right.
I mean, we all sit here and say, well, San Francisco run the ball against Green Bay. They didn't the first time. Now, Green Bay's different defensively. They are different defensively. I mean, they're not as good defensively. But they didn't run the ball in that first game. They had Sermon as the featured back in the game. Now we have Elijah Mitchell. They were in a lot of – I mean, I don't know. Kyle was doing a lot of motion trying to separate the defense, trying to create some inside alleys by really stemming the back out, stemming the receiver out, and kind of alluring them to think it's a bubble pass to run inside. A lot of shotgun in the first game. I think it'll be a different game plan this time.
Here it is, week three, and wow, this was clean for the Rams. And you mentioned it, Michael, a 10-point win for the Rams in week three in Los Angeles. They were 10 of 15 on third down. They ran for 76 yards. They were penalized once in the game. McVay, that's a clean performance from McVay's team there in week three.
They played as well as they could play. Whereas Buffalo, let's go to Buffalo. Let's just jump quickly.
Sure.
Buffalo played really good. I mean, they threw 26 passes, had 300 and some yards passing. They had 10 penalties in the Buffalo game. Buffalo had 10 penalties called against them. But yet they were able to throw the ball. Allen was the leading ball carrier. They ran for 120 yards. They only had the ball for 27 minutes, but they dominated the game. And this is when the Chiefs weren't very good. This is a complicated game for the Chiefs to play because they want to play press man. They want to get in the receiver's face. They want to be able to pressure the quarterback. But if you pressure this big man and he escapes you and he runs for 30, that's on you. Because on a blackboard, you can put it up there. We're gonna spy our this player on Allen. But the problem is on the blackboard, it looks like you can tackle him. On the field, like the Patriots found out, you can't.
You and I will be talking next Monday. Do we have four extremely live dogs? If we're talking about the four dogs winning this weekend, it's not going to be shocking. I mean, it would be.
No.
It's not going to be overly shocking. Cincinnati, we'll get into Tennessee getting Henry back. San Francisco at Green Bay, it wouldn't be shocking. I mean, Green Bay is your biggest number there at six. And then the Rams and Buffalo, this wouldn't be a shock if all these are live dogs here.
No, I think, wouldn't be surprised if we had four really good games.
I agree.
I mean, last week we had one really good game.
The first one?
Well, maybe we had two. We had the first one and we
Dallas.
Had the 49er
Cowboy
game.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we had two good games. Everything else, really, there was very little doubt. Even the Dallas game, I recommended Dallas. I was wrong on that pick. Even in the Dallas game, I could tell from the very beginning that Dallas was going to win that game. You could just tell they didn't have a good plan, and they couldn't stop San Francisco from running the ball.
Well, at least they were clean as far as penalties. My goodness. And they were shook.
Yeah, 14 of them.
I think your boy McCarthy came out and said, yeah, they were shook. They were nervous. I looked in their eyes before the game. That's not necessarily what you want to hear from your head coach, is it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think practice execution becomes game reality. Obviously, their penalties are in practice, too. They just don't notice them.
We've got the Green Bay Packers getting very healthy, Michael. We'll discuss. We've got Vinny Maliulo coming, stopping by. He's going to hang out with us. Amal Shaw, see how spicy Amal is today, of course, co-host of Odds On. And then we've got our buddy Josh coming up as well. We're just getting started here at Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Matt, it is BetMGM Nevada. Okay, the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app. Here in Nevada, if you bring that state-issued ID to MGM Properties, you're ready to bet within minutes. Okay, so make sure you check it out. I love it because of the in-game. I know I say it all the time, but it's very important for 2022 in betting. So 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. That's BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Okay, we got you back here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So we're taking a – and in the totals as well. You know, Michael, this is pretty condensed. are the biggest number is in Kansas City on Sunday evening at, you know, open 53, you see 54s there, but we're in that range between 46.5 and 53, 54. Like you said, the four games and the four matchups, as far as the numbers, everything's pretty tight as well. And the splits, do you see anything inordinate as far as splits? Maybe a ton of Buffalo money that we've got being reported.
Yeah, you know, I think that what we're seeing here, and this has kind of been the trend that happened last week, I mean, you know, no one's betting Cincinnati yet the line's staying the same. No one's really betting Kansas City yet the line's staying pretty much. It moved a little bit, right? And I think the other games are really 60-40 splits. Green Bay's actually getting 60% of the money now, and Tampa Bay's getting 65% of the money. So I think we're seeing that. But to me, the only two outliers this weekend are the first game where really no one's betting Cincinnati yet. That number won't tick to 4. It's at 3.5. And then the last game of the weekend, which is everybody's all over Buffalo, which is, you know, recency bias. And certainly, can you beat Kansas City twice in their stadium in the same year? Challenging to do, right? But it's a hard matchup for Kansas City. So, you know, and Buffalo's very confident. Buffalo's riding a really, really powerful high coming off that game. And their numbers all suggest that they should be able to do it twice. So,
yeah,
you know, I think one thing I've learned this year and last year is, the line movement we know is insignificant. I mean, last week, all the line movement turned the other way, right? And then the other thing is, to me, is during the week, it's almost, it's meaningless because it's really, you've got to either talk about it Monday or you got to talk about it Sunday because that's really when the action's happening.
Well, we do know that this is, once you get to the postseason, it's a fully efficient market because we as bettors and the bookmakers, and Vinny's going to join us here in a second, you've got a full season worth of data. So these numbers start to really tighten up. It's not, nobody's getting surprised here to inform our decisions. We've got a full season and these numbers are about as tight as they get. So the efficiency is about, and he's got four. Now the cool thing for us, unless you do like the weather games, you were talking about the Ice Bowl, shows back. It's January 20th and we're going to have four outdoor games. Not really going to be inclement. I mean, maybe Green Bay, it's going to be cold, maybe potentially snow, but the weather in Nashville is going to be cold, but nothing crazy. The weather in Kansas City is going to be fine, nothing crazy. I mean, this weather is going to be fine this weekend.
Yeah, and it's and which, you know, would lend itself to think. I mean, I think that the Kansas City Buffalo game ticked up. It opened 53. And it went up to 54, and it's kind of stayed there. That would be the one game that I think would be one of those where, okay, I could see both teams, you know, getting into it in the fourth quarter where it really becomes a track meet, where all of a sudden, because I don't think either team really paces the game. You know, I think San Francisco will try to pace the game. I mean, how couldn't you? You gave the ball back to Aaron Rodgers with 37 seconds. You had a chance to win the game. They had no timeouts, and you still lost.
Right. Speaking of pacing, just to put a bow on what we were talking about with Tampa Bay and Los Angeles, the total opened 48.5 and it hasn't moved. It's sitting 40. These are two of the slower teams as far as pacing, right? They're kind of plotting, methodical as far as their approach, not going to go necessarily up tempo. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the injuries. The Bucs are banged up. I mean, worse, I guess we'll get a game time decision, but they're pretty banged up right now.
They are. You know, we know Fournette's going to play. He didn't play in the first game. In the first game, Gronk got hurt in that game, too. That's when Gronk broke his ribs. Took a vicious shot coming across on a crossing route. And they lost him for the game. They had Bernard in the game. But I think when you watch that game, the first three series of the game for the Bucs, they went three and out. And I don't think it was as much that the Rams were dominant defensively as it just the lack of execution. I think Brady took took a short route on the first third down. There was opportunities there that they just passed up. I think it'll be a different game this game. I could see this team going. I could see this game going back and forth because when you watch that other game, other than the fact that the Bucs really let three possessions get away. I think they were going to keep moving the ball, and I think that could have hit the over at 48.5. I think there's no doubt that could go over.
And the Rams can supply that pressure, and you can correct me, that Brady doesn't necessarily like, and that's the pressure right up the middle, right in his face. And I think that's probably and maybe a little simplistic the way I'm approaching it, but you know they can provide the type that he doesn't necessarily, and Aaron Donald can get that push.
Right. And I think the other thing, too, to really understand is going into this game, you know Wirfs probably is he's going to – they know today they think if Wirfs going to play. They all say it'll be a game-time decision, but they know. And they practice as if Wirfs not going to play. So Brady's going to be in a lot of right-handed formations. He's going to be – he's going to want to chip. You know, where's Floyd lined up? Where's Miller lined up? Are they going to put Floyd over here to the right tackle to Josh Wells and see how he handles it, how he changes the protection? You know, what one thing the Patriots do, and now the Bucs do, I know that they're not running the Patriots offense, but basically they're different than most teams. They don't slide the protection to a player. Right. They don't do that. They protect differently than most teams do in the league. And that'll help them offset for if they lost their right tackle.
Yeah, down to one. You nailed it as far as the one that, you know, as far as Buffalo and Kansas City, I'll check out John Ewing's numbers at BetMGM, but the money right now, as you see with our interface here, we've got 80% on Buffalo, 77% of the bets, and that indicates that number coming down to 1.5. Are you surprised to see, especially home at Kansas City there, an inordinate amount of money coming in on the Bills right now?
I mean, just the way people saw the Bills dominate that game. I mean, look, it was impressive, you know, and they dominated New England. Now, you got John Hussey, who, you know, again, we're going to talk about the officials this week. Hussey will do this game. But throw out the conversation about the officials because it's an all-star crew. So even though Hussey's 61-48 as a home referee, 56%, that's not his crew, right? That's not his crew. So we really can't judge that. Just like, you know, when you look at Sean Hockley's going to be doing the Green Bay, San Francisco. No, Ron Tolbert's doing that. Well, Tolbert is historically a dog referee. I mean, he's 44-62, but that's not his crew. That's not his crew. And then we have our man Sean Hockley doing the Tampa game. And you would say, okay, take some chances down the field. Throw some balls down the field. Well, that's not, you know, the back judge isn't maybe not the same guy that Hockley had on his crew. So you can't really play that angle in your handicapping.
I do want to let you know, just as an aside, you know, Ricky is back in action on the PGA Tour, La Quinta, there in California.
Is he?
He's today. And I wrote it down my notes because me and my dad were talking about betting the American Express, which is the and you can follow long shots, our buddy Wes and Brady. But there's a Ricky Fowler tracker, and I was dying yesterday when I looked at my computer, and they said Ricky's coming back, and there's a Ricky Fowler tracker on Twitter. I just, as an aside, wanted you to make sure you give that a follow because that's your favorite guy, Ricky, going into this tournament here.
No doubt. I mean, you know, let's monitor what he's going to do here. You think he can do something?
Well, this
here?
Is where he'll perform. He just won't perform once we come, once it's crutched. He is the opposite of Tom Brady, is what I'm trying to say. Just that was an aside. Now, the one that did jump over the key numbers, obviously, in Tennessee, where we have moved to 3.5. Everybody I've heard from likes Cincinnati, and that's kind of the same effect we're seeing with Buffalo. Cincinnati's, it's a sexy team to bet right now.
Yeah, I just don't like the matchup for Cincinnati, and here's why. First of all, Cincinnati losing Ogunjobi, the inside defensive tackle, that really helped their run game. You know, and so they don't have that. And whether Henry's back or you know, whatever they decide to do, Foreman's in there, you know, it's all going to be, they're going to run their same stuff. They're going to run play action. I think with A.J. Brown inside against Mike Hilton, can they tackle A.J. Brown? I mean, he's hard to deal with. The Titans are so good at situational football. And I think Vrabel's really good at saying, I'm sure he's going to say to his deep, look, let's just take out Chase, high-low this guy, not let him get jump balls down the field, and let's hold up in the run, and then let's see if this Bengal offensive line, which we know has problems, right, can play well with a crowd noise and on the road. Bad lines don't travel. Tennessee has a good defensive front. Cincinnati has a bad line. Can they travel? I think this is a game Tennessee can control from start to finish. And if they don't turn the ball over, which has been their moniker all season, they turned it over five times against Houston, lost. Four times against the Jets, lost. Five times against the Pitt, lost. When they turn it over, they lose. If they don't, they don't lose.
And your expectations for Henry, they're doing the same thing where they're pretending, oh, we'll see. He's going to play. I mean, he's practicing.
I mean, this is on my eye. I watched him work out. I thought he was good.
Okay. And
Ogunjobi and that defensive front is beat up right now. That does not bode well with Derrick Henry returning. And by the way, they ran the ball well without Derrick Henry, as we discussed many times. Okay, Vinny's in town here at the South Point. He's going to join us next here on the Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
All right. Of course, it's never too early to prepare for the big game, and we want you to make sure VSiN is a part of your plans. We'll be with you throughout the playoffs and then on to championship weekend. We'll have 56 hours of free video coverage on VSiN.com, VSIN.com, leading up to the sixth annual live big game betcast. It's the biggest game of the year, so make plans right now to join the VSiN betting experts before, during, and after the action on VSiN Doc. Every year, coverage gets better and better, and that will continue this season. It's VSiN.com for the big game coverage. We got you back here, Lombardi Line, Michael Lombardi there in New Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. And you can see behind me, that's the book at the South Point for those of you that are just joining us. And then back in the back corner, that's where the bosses go into their offices, Chris Andrews. And, of course, the gentleman sitting to my right, your left, Vinny Maliulo. He joins us. Hi, Vinny.
What do you say, guys?
How you feeling, buddy?
Feel good.
Nice to see you.
Good to be seen.
Nice to have you back.
Yes. Out for a few
that days. That gave me flashbacks, if you remember, Michael, when we were trudging through the summer of 2020 and Vinny used to do the hits from his office somewhere. I think it's like a witness protection program, and we were trying to balance the bad internet for everybody. That was quite a trip, wasn't it?
It will go down as quite a trip. Yes.
It will go down in history.
Talking about sports that we weren't seeing played. Yeah, that was challenging. Talking about no betting. Poor Vinny didn't have any. The hot dog lady, she had to close up too. That was the most disappointing thing of all.
That was devastating because, as we know, when we built this studio, which you gentlemen will recall now, by the way, this, I believe, is going to be our sixth Super Bowl here from the South Point on VSiN. The most challenging thing was not where to relocate the about 50 slot machines that once stood here, but what are we going to do with the hot dog cart?
Yes.
There were more meetings about the hot dog carts.
So. Also, all of us trying to talk like we were educated on Korean baseball that summer.
Yes, Korean baseball.
was quite a stretch.
My goodness,
but how are you feeling? We were just talking about how this is when the market becomes fully efficient as far as we all have the same information.
Yeah.
We're heading into, as Michael said, these four games should be pretty damn good.
Yeah, I don't think, it's not a question of, information not being available to everybody, right? So you've gotten the wild card weekend out of the way, so to speak, which, again, not complaining by any means. It was tremendous, a tremendous betting weekend with the expanded format. Also, very good for the bettors. They had a very good first round, especially. It was a little deceiving, I think, going into after day one, where it looked like, the house did well. The house won first couple of games, but it was deceiving because what it did was set up with those two favorites, carrying over into Sunday and then, of course, into Monday night, which was a no-win situation. But again, folks have plenty of ammo for this week. And now things kind of holding true to form, if you will, with that. And you've got two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday where the betting's been very good so far, and I mean, there's nothing that's going to lead us to believe anything otherwise than continued strong betting right through Sunday afternoon.
Vinny, when do you get mostly of your six-figure bets? Is it Monday or Sunday?
I think what you'll see more, not so far, Michael. A lot of five-figure bets so far, four- and five-figure bets, but six-figure wagers won't come. It's not to say that they can't come before Saturday, but usually a day of.
Day of.
Yeah.
May I just ask you, you said no win spot on Monday night.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
So bettors had were tied to both teams on Monday night. Teasers to both sides.
Gotcha.
But mainly money line parlays, outright point spread parlays and teasers to the Rams on Monday night. And of course, that game was pretty much done by halftime.
It was done at halftime,
yeah. Vinny. I mean, if it was. Vinny, what do you think will be the two most popular teaser games being played this weekend?
There's no doubt.
Green Bay coming down.
Well, Green Bay is coming down, but I think you'll see teasers on both sides of the Niners-Packers game. Certainly, the Titans are going to get teased down by the general public. Buccaneers, for sure. And then I think there'll be two-way teaser action in terms of the Bills-Chiefs game. And again, public tends to tease favorites down, but they've gotten wiser and looking for as many points as possible too. Pros will look to, if they're going to tease, get as many points as possible and tease some dogs.
May I just say to the Tennessee teasers, shame on you. If you're teasing 3.5, you missed the 3. So you're teasing, if you're teasing Tennessee catching 2.5, that is not a good bet.
Yeah.
That just as an aside.
You'll want to wait for it to, if it gets back to 3, if you're going to tease the Titans.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, action. Michael asked you as far as the big bets. Are you seeing pretty consistent money come in early on these four matchups?
Yeah, I think when you look at it, again, because some of these, you know, you've got three games hovering around the key number of 3, right? So taking 3 or laying 3 and taking 3.5, Titans game now up to 3.5. Even the Packers, what we've seen so far is taking 6 with the 49ers, especially after both key defensive players have returned to working out this week, looking more like probable. So you've got that game, which is fairly a key number as well. But then, the Buccaneers, again, laying 2.5, taking 3. The Chiefs are down to 1.5 right now. So I don't know if we're going to see that game. And we never were at 3. We opened a game 2.5 here at South Point. Chrissy opened it on Monday morning at 2.5. And they took the 2.5 and they took the 2. I'd doubt that the game will go back up to 3. It won't move that much higher.
I wouldn't think so.
How about the Bucs game? Do you think that'll end up? What's your guesstimate on where the Bucs or a Ram game closes? There's a lot of indication it may go down to 2.5. Do you think it'll? Where do you think that thing would close? You think it'd stay at 2.5, 2, or go back to 3?
I think it'll depend on what happens on Saturday, Michael, because again, that's going to be a game 3 on the rotation. So depending on how things turned out with multi-leg bets going to that game. Again, I'm not hedging at all. I mean, because here's the thing. Obviously, you're probably going to see the game close 3 in more places because the places that move the money on 3, move the juice on 3. And again, not a critique. It's just that the philosophy here is not to. So if we've seen so far that they're taking 3 with the Buccaneers and laying, I'm sorry, taking 3 with the Rams and laying 2.5 with the Buccaneers. So I think that's going to continue as we get right up until at least through Saturday. But again, I think it'll depend on what happens with both the Bengals-Titans game and the Niners-Buccaneers game to set things up for that Rams-Bucks game.
And may I ask, where did you open that Rams-Bucks game?
3.
Okay,
3.
You did. Some reason, I thought you mentioned 2.5. So 3, and that's pretty much day 3, although it looks like, and Michael mentioned this earlier, it looks like you're headed to 2.5.
We're at 2.5 right now. So what we've seen so far is taking 3 with the Rams or laying 2.5 with the Buccaneers. And right now, and again, I was just behind the counter with the supervisors here at the South Point right before I came on air, and it's at 2.5 here at South Point.
Okay. Where are you right now on the first? And we'll start there, and we'll come back and continue with Vinny. But Cincinnati, Tennessee, my assumption is you open 3 there?
Yeah, open 3. They laid the 3 and up to 3.5. I suspect of all the games, this one will probably trend higher than the others. I just think that the Titans are going to get some love here, and I think the perception by the public with the Titans being off and Derrick Henry coming back, although I know I'm sure that you guys have already talked about the fact, especially Michael talking about the fact, he's healed, And he's, I'm sure, in shape, but is he game fit? And that's a big difference. But certainly a weapon that you know, bodes well for the Titans here. I'm not one of these you know, people that subscribe either to the history. There's no history here. When people start talking about, you know, the Bengals haven't won in this situation, or what they've done in this situation previously, most of these guys weren't even born yet.
The Bengals have never won a road playoff game in their franchise history.
Well, that's fine, but these guys weren't around. So, I mean, you know, again, a lot of them weren't even born. So, you know, a lot of those you know, team-specific historical aspects, they have to do with a completely different team.
Michael, no can doubt. You react to the Henry point from Vinny there as far as expectations for Henry?
I think it's, you know, watching him work out, I thought he looked good. He didn't favor it. He didn't look like he hindered it. Like when we saw Lamar, there's no way Lamar was going to play. This one, not the case. And they got Foreman, too. And I think they, you know, one thing about Henry, when he's in the backfield, he's a hell of a decoy, too.
Yeah.
We'll always have the Baltimore Ravens releasing footage of Lamar Jackson limping around his own practice.
Thanking him. Yeah, exactly.
Like, what the hell was that? We'll get to the totals next with Vinny Maliulo from Behind the Book here at the South Point. It's the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
BetMGM welcomes you. It's a special NBA offer. Simply place a $10 Moneyline wager on any game. That's tonight. And if somebody hits a three-pointer, you're going to win $200. That's pretty simple. You just have to use the bonus code VSIN200, VSIN200, when you make your first bet. Plus, you'll earn M Life rewards that can be redeemed for rooms and dining at any MGM resort. BetMGM, proud to be an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. So again, tonight, $10 Moneyline wager on any game, regardless of the game's outcome. You're going to win $200 paid for in free bets for new bettors if a team hits a three-pointer. VSIN 200 is the code. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as a non-withdrawable free bet or on-site credit. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher. He, of course, is Michael Lombardi. Vinny Maliulo from Behind the Book joins us. We had some good stuff set up for you here, Michael. So they're running the postseason exacta here at the South Point. We'll get to that in a second. But I thought we'd have a little fun with these eight remaining teams and go back a year ago and have where you opened at the South Point with the futures on these eight teams, which is nearly, what, a year ago now, Vinny?
January 28th, we opened the future book here. And let's talk a little bit about, so the Bills and where they're at right now at plus 475. The Bills were as high as 12-1. So in opened, they were 10. We moved them quickly to 12-1. When you look at the Bengals, 100-1. For the Bengals, and they're up to 20. And by the way, we postseason going into postseason 15. But you know, for a lot of new operators out there, I talk about this. You know, we talk about educating bettors. Try to you know, just give an opinion to operators as well. And always remember, if you're going to lower odds because of exposure, be prepared to raise them too, raise prices as well to try to mitigate your exposure on those that you got bet. and try to attract some money on other teams too, right? The Packers were a little tricky, if you remember.
Yeah, because the Aaron Rodgers situation. Yeah.
But there wasn't the drama back in January. That didn't occur until right before
March.
The season, until the summer. You know,
that's
the spring,
true.
The spring.
Actually, great point. Yeah.
So 10-1 on the Packers when we opened it, anticipating that Rodgers would be there. They're now at 325. We did have them at 350. They did bet them the other day. The Chiefs, no real movement here. Probably the least amount of movement here. 4-1, now up to 4.25. Presently, they were 5-1. They were one of the favorites, and of course, they were under 500 for the early part of the season. So we did bump it up, but not too much because you kind of figured, you got the sense, you know, Mahomes was hurt at that time. You thought that the Chiefs, you didn't want to overreact and think the Chiefs were going to be out of it by any means. The Rams, 25-1. And, of course, that was...
That went down quickly, though.
Well, it did because, let's remember this. When we opened
Stafford.
January, to Michael's point, yeah, there was no Matt Stafford. So once they made the deal for Stafford, and again, they were 8-1 going into the postseason and now 6-1. The 49ers, who now sit at 10-1. Niners have been getting some play in recent years. They've been one of the more popular teams in recent years, 15-1, even though there was some quarterback controversy going there. So 15-1.
That's 15-1 on January 28th.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And then the Buccaneers, another team. We opened them at 10-1, and they got initial play to repeat quickly within a couple of weeks. Went down to 7-1. Right now, up to 5.25. We did have them at 5-1 going into last week's game, and the Titans right now at 9-1. We had them 8-1 before these numbers, or when these numbers were posted early. Haven't gotten any bit. So, if you're looking for Titans at 9-1, by the way, Tennessee Titans 30-1. Didn't get any play back in January and February. Up to 40-1. So
wow.
That's the time when the Titans were pretty much higher.
Does anything stand out there, Michael? A year ago today, taking a look at the futures market for these eight teams.
Well, I mean, obviously the Bengals at 100-1. Who would have thought that they would have been able to put together 10 wins and, you know, and they drafted Chase. You know, I would have said back in January their offensive line is horrible. They're going to get Burrow killed. He comes off of an ACL and plays the whole season other than the last game of the year. So I think that would have been a hard crystal ball to see.
Yep.
It's actually kind of still hard for me to see, especially when you go back and – you know, when you watch the Raider game closely and you see that, you know, if the Raiders changed a little bit of what they did, they put the ball in Carr's hands 54 times and they only run Jacobs 13. If they change that a little bit, they might win that game. So I'm not sold that the Bengals are. I know they've got explosive offense, but the Raiders move the ball effectively against them, and I would worry about that. And then I think we're getting carried away a little bit. I don't think the betting public's getting carried. I don't think Vinny and Chrissy are carried away because they opened the game exactly the way they opened the game in week six, right? But I think the effect of the New England game is creating a huge hysteria towards Buffalo. And I think if you just go back, which wasn't there, right? Because when you go back and watch Buffalo play the Jets in the final game of the year, I mean, it was painful. But it's a 13-3 game going into 13-10 game.
Allen wasn't good either. Allen was not good.
He wasn't good, you know. And so then I'm not. And look, the Jets have better team speed. They can run better than New England. New England was New England looked like a tired old slow team. And Kansas City in the first game, you know, didn't have Chris Jones didn't play. Ingram wasn't there. You know, they weren't playing good defense at that point anywhere in the season. And so these are two different teams. Completely, and yet the line opened exactly the same. And yet the betting market is going all the way in on Buffalo because of what they've seen the last time. And they saw Mahomes, even though they played Pittsburgh, turn the ball over. I just don't know. Will Hill keeps saying, I don't know if Buffalo can pitch another no-hitter again.
I think what you're going to see in this game is I think bettors looking to bet on the Chiefs. They're just waiting to see how low it can go and the cheapest price, like obviously,
right.
That they can bet. So. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, and I think the Chiefs are healthier now than when they, you know, the first
no doubt
first time as well. I think there's a big difference in Mahomes now. That early part of the season where they were struggling, everybody, you know, or a lot of folks had their, you know, had them written off. I've got to tell you, they've shored some things up. on their offensive line. And again, that was the key. That was, let's face it, that was a big impact. That was probably the impact in last year's Super Bowl.
Oh, the Super Bowl was everything. With, you know, all about that offensive line.
Not taking anything away from the Buccaneers. But and the other thing is, Mahomes is healthy here. So this being the fourth game, too, I mean, I'm not saying anything it's going to shock anybody, but this is going to have the most handle because everything will be going to it. But I think people are waiting right now to see just how cheap they can bet the Chiefs.
When you hung the Bucs 2.5, I was joking with Michael. I always love those numbers because it lets you know immediately. Did you immediately go down to 2, or
no,
were you getting closer to 3?
It was no, it was not to 3. I mean, it wasn't
never sniffed 3.
No, I don't recall. No, again, it was on Monday morning too. So again, you don't have to race to be first either. I mean, it's not like you're going to do all this business on Sunday night. You also wanted to, you know, come out of that game, and you realize they were healthy too, right? So I mean, it was a foregone conclusion that game was done, so that you could post it a lot earlier, but. Not a lot of movement early until the movement came after Monday.
Can you explain to Michael the postseason exactly? I like what you're doing here.
Yeah,
with this.
Chrissy has done this for a number of years, and what we've done is you can pick the exact outcome of the Super Bowl, just like it says. So, for instance, if you think the Titans are going to defeat the Rams, you get 35-1. Now, regardless of the score or anything like that. But you have the opportunity to pick, and we did this, you know, Chrissy put it up before even last week's games, last week's 6 games. So there are obviously combinations that are off here. But, you know, I don't think it'll surprise anybody that, you know, the favorites are the four top four seeds are all favored in these exactas here. But you have the opportunity to pick who you think is going to beat who in the Super Bowl. So, Michael, if you give me your Super Bowl prediction your two teams, I could tell you what the price is.
Just for fun.
I started the season off with Green Bay and KC, so I'll stick with that.
Perfect.
So the Packers over the Chiefs right now, 9-1.
Yeah, I like the
regardless
Packers
of the score.
Right, and I would like the Packers in the game. The question I wanted to ask you, this is a little bit off, is assume Tennessee wins, what would the line be, Buffalo, Tennessee, KC, Tennessee?
Well, I've got KC right at the top right now, and I've got Buffalo about just where they're at right now, where the number is. So I'd say 1.5, 2 points. So you're saying what would KC or Buffalo be against Tennessee?
Yep.
Again, you've got to take into consideration what's fresh in people's minds. The game would be, you know, Tennessee would be the home team there. So a couple of points.
Yep. That's my point. The what happened last always affects us.
Oh, that's why.
Oh, the recency is everything.
Yeah. No doubt. That's what's fresh in everybody's mind.
It plays into this market hugely. Yep. Thank you, Vinny. Glad you're feeling better, buddy.
Thank
you, Vinny.
Nice
to see you guys.
Okay, we continue. We've got a mall coming up. We've got Josh and more here. Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It's VSIN. And by the way, you want to follow Vinny? It's VSIN Vinny on Twitter.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.